Blog Talk Radio.
Promised you last week. We came back. We are here. Welcome, people. Welcome to She Is Raising the Bar. On Blog Talk Radio every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. You'll find us here. We'll find you there. And we make one big happy family. Thank you for joining us again. Before I go on about the wonders and the poignancy of today's show, I look to my lovely co-host, and of course always make the proper intros. To my left-hand side sits the lovely Elite Ziegelman. How are you?
I'm great. And you?
I am wonderful, and Lori Towers is me.
There we go.
And there you go. Cast of characters is completed. The two-person play. It's a two-person play. And, you know, what the nice thing about today's show, and anybody who's just joining us, this show is pretty much about women's empowerment. And I think there's nothing better than, I mean, we always have great guests and interesting guests, I think, and guests that are all about, you know, the crossroads of their lives, their careers, and it's about reinvention. And I think that's really, in essence, what we all have to do at one point in our life. It doesn't matter if you're...
Especially as we get older.
Right, and I'm thinking about the people that might be listening, and they're in their 20s.
Right.
And, you know, reinvention doesn't have to happen at a milestone.
No.
You know, it could be at any point in your life that you just think it's absolutely necessary for whatever the reasons might be. And today's guest is just one of these, literally, I mean, when you think of coming through the worst and coming out ahead, and this is what this
she's
woman
way ahead
did, and
God bless her.
And she will come on. April Malloy Peacock will be on with us in just a few minutes, and I'm not even going to really set it up, because when she comes on and when she sets up her story, it's just absolutely amazing. And you know, I always think in terms of the resiliency of the human spirit, and I always have said that we are here as a species because of the resiliency of the human spirit, because everything that we have gone through...
We evolve.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about, most of us don't have lives that read like a Greek tragedy, and most of things that have happened, the most hideous things in history, we have forged past to make it here. So there has to be something, you know, in us moving forward amidst, I mean, when you think about centuries ago, people were, you know, settlers were going to new land to find a better life for their families and themselves, and they did it with children that were sick and children that maybe died along the way and spouses that died along the way. But still, we kept going forward. Because honestly, that's really all we have. There's really no choice. And there's a favorite, and you know this. I've always said this to you. There's a favorite saying by Emily Dickinson that I just love. Hope is a feather thing that sits upon the soul and sings a song without the words and never stops at all. And that's really it. Because when you lose hope, there's chaos.
Right.
And that's what we always have to have. And this lady's story is just abusive childhood, foster child, and right then and there, you know, when you don't have that foundation and insulation of, you know,
parents.
Of course, two parents being, of course, I think everybody thinking that should be the best.
Mm-hmm.
I always say even one healthy parent. If you can't have two healthy parents, then just one healthy parent. But not even having that really sets somebody up for not really trusting the world. I mean, when you don't have that foundation as a toddler, there's really very little that you see that is...
And getting abused along the way.
Right. Worth taking a chance on in the world. So how you're able to literally pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just decide, well, you know what? I got to do it. I just got to do it. And it's just... when and it's funny because I often think of you, and there's a expression that you there's an expression that you have that you always say, well, life got to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think, yes, but what about the person like this who definitely had...
Listen, I'm sure she has a piece of her that's
still, you know, you'll see
that piece every
once in a while. No, of course. You know what? You never walk away from your scars.
No.
But I'm talking about the people that...
you use it.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. I'm talking about the people that are just bitter the rest of their lives and just never make any movement forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is life got to them. Okay,
right.
Life got to her, but how did she use it?
Right.
And see, this is what I love.
How old is she, by the way?
She's younger than us.
She's younger than us.
Yeah. I think I don't want to give her age of.
We'll ask her.
She's younger than we are. And this is the song that I was telling you that I just adore. By I'm just going to play a little piece of it.
Good times and bum times. I've seen them all, and my dear. Here. Plush velvet sometimes, sometimes just pretzels and beer, but I'm here. I've stuffed the daily.
And that's like one of my favorites, and that's the late, great Elaine Stritch on Broadway doing Stephen Sondheim's.
She's drinking her scotch.
That was
Nemesis.
Definitely her. Her drug of choice, and that's a lady also who was in, oh my gosh, she was in show business probably, I think it was 70 years.
Wow.
And then her last big role was on, you didn't see it, but Steve would know it, on 40 Rock, 30 Rock.
30 Rock.
She played Alec Baldwin's
mom.
Yeah, mm-hmm. his mother. And he called her Colleen. It was really funny. He called her Colleen. And she's another one who just, I mean, was riding high in April, shot down in May, as the song goes, had a great career, then she didn't. Then hit rock bottom more than a few times, climbed up,
But what was the reason for her hitting rock bottom?
I believe, well, you know, the industry being about sexism and ageism, and, you know, she didn't get roles after a while.
Right.
She always was able to put over a song, but she wasn't the greatest singer. She was a dancer. She did a little bit of everything, but wasn't really fantastic at any one thing, but she was a great entertainer all around. But there came a point in her life where, you know, maybe a male counterpart would have continued along the path.
Mm.
She didn't get the calls. So then what do? You start drinking, you start feeling sorry for yourself, and then, you know, you get the call, you don't get it, and it's just like 70 years of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's still here. Well, she's not still here now, but, I mean, that became her song, you know.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool story.
And it's a long song. I didn't want to play the whole
thing. So funny. Yesterday, I was out to dinner with Mickey and Steve, and you know, there's always sports on TVs
mm-hmm.
everywhere you go. And I was just saying to them, both of them, I said, I'm so sick of seeing sports on TVs. Put something else on.
Yeah.
She goes, well, as long as the world is run, this is my daughter,
mm-hmm.
by white straight males, that's all we will see around us.
Thank you, Ricky. That's exactly right.
And
that's
I was
exactly
just like, wow,
right.
This 21-year-old knows what she's saying.
Yeah.
I never, like, it never went into my head,
mm-hmm.
but that's who rules the world.
Yeah.
The white straight males.
Yeah. Hello. Yep. Yep. That's exactly it. And, you know, the thing is, I think a lot of people think that sports is almost like background music and people aren't paying attention.
Right.
But if you've ever been out with people that are paying attention and it's like, you know, you're trying to have a conversation
at
a
every
meeting.
Every TV screen.
And you see,
even at the gyms, it's on the TV screens. I'm sick and tired of seeing it.
Well, you know what?
How many sports bars are there?
Oh, my God. But, you know, now I'm thinking that people might think it's safer than the news now. You know, when again, it's annoying.
Oh, I understand
that.
But years ago,
day.
They still didn't have the
always,
news on.
Always. It was always that.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It's also a big money maker, too.
Of course. Of course. Well, think about years ago, sports was always on in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of diners and restaurants that never even had TVs. So
mm-hmm.
when you walked into a bar, there was always a TV that was way up on the wall, and there was always sports on because
yeah.
the majority of the people were the boys
still
in the bars
yeah.
throwing those beers back. But, yeah, but, I mean, the thing is, it just you know, that's what I think I love the most about this show. And I think that we'll probably eventually run out of, I mean, I'm sure – every story is not going to have the resolution and the happy ending immediately. I'll say that. But I think that once, you know, if you keep trying to move forward, you know, and I think that's what the show is about. Keep trying to move forward because there's really nothing else. There's
mm-hmm.
really nothing else. I mean, you know.
Well, this is almost like you, when you go out and protest.
Yeah.
We're actually protesting on, you know,
yeah,
what we believe in.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the more, you know, a collective whisper is a shout, and that's what we have to do.
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
sometimes shouting
doesn't matter. Silence.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So it would be interesting to hear
her story.
Her story. And I was on the phone with her, I think it was last week, maybe the week before, and just, you know, fascinating. You know, it was something that I thought was going to be, you know, maybe a couple-minute call. I actually sat down
right.
and got comfortable and listened to her story.
Well, I'm sure she's got nice, you know,
yeah,
nice big story to tell.
And that's I think...
That's what the show's about. We want to hear people's stories.
And that's what I think people should hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know the person that you're talking to, either it's over the phone or someone who's listening to you on the radio or seeing you on TV, and you never know the power and the quality that your message is giving.
Right.
Because you don't know, this person might have just walked away from something and just feeling completely disillusioned and like, how am I going to do this and blah, 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 and I just lost my job and I got kids to feed and what am I going to do? And...
Well, like the saying goes, everybody's fighting a certain battle.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, and you never know. And that's one thing I have to tell you, that you never really appreciate the wisdom of your grandparents until they're gone. And, you know, what? Anytime
right.
my grandmother said something, I never got...
And they were so not educated.
Right. But the thing is, she would say something. She would say, be careful how you react to somebody, because you never know what they just walked away from.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be, wah. Oh, you know, and you just,
right.
it made absolutely no sense when I was 10. But now I see, you know, how poignant that was.
Right.
You just don't know. The person that you just might have stepped on your foot,
right.
might have pushed, might have been a little bit abrasive to you, they might have walked away from something horrible,
mm-hmm.
a divorce, I mean, somebody mistreating them, getting fired, burying somebody.
Yeah.
So just if you can, and you know, it's not always
that's
easy.
The rest of the saying was, you don't know everybody's you know, it's fighting a battle,
but that's
to
exactly
be nice
right.
to everybody.
It's a silent battle. You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know. And look, let's be serious. Sometimes it's hard to not, you know, have your own stuff and like, hey, you know, but if you can, and it's a stranger and you don't know, just, you know, that old
just be nice.
Count to 10.
Just be nice.
Count to 10 before you open your mouth and just, you know, again, it sounds so corny, and if you would have said, I'd be saying stuff like this when I was a teenager,
mm-hmm.
I would have laughed at you, but just be kind to each other. It really doesn't
take... I think
take,
that's the biggest part of humanity, just be kind
to each other. It doesn't take any more energy than that, and I think the lovely April is...
She's on. I'm going to bring her on if she hears me.
April, are you there, darling?
I am. I was trying to figure out. I was like, I know I saw that email. How are you?
How are you, darling?
You?
Welcome to the show.
Definitely. Sorry about the delay. I'd forgotten about the time. We're on a vacation, so.
Oh, no.
You.
No, not at all. You know, we were setting up your story, and I was saying that the reason the show exists, our show, and the thing that I like doing the most with it is the fact that we bring to the forefront stories of success, stories of survival, stories of reinvention, and we've been saying that reinvention is the new revolution, and that's really what your story is about. And you talk about as somebody pulling themselves up from the bootstraps at least, I'm reading your bio, at least 3 or 4 times. And that's amazing
right.
in itself.
Well, I mean, life always knocks you down. And life is really always under construction. And it's, you know, you're going to fall. You're going to have your days where you're like, you feel like you have no courage, you have no strength. But you have to say, I can do this. And no matter what is done to you by others, because things happen, you have to know that you can overcome it. And you have to have thick skin in order to make it. And you're going to fall.
True. Very true.
But you know what's interesting? And you're a little younger than us. But even with the flexibility that gender-specific careers had, like in the 80s and maybe the 90s, your first jobs were in construction. So that's
yeah. How did that come about?
A bit of a different choice for a young lady.
Well, I mean, you know, when I was five years old, I was building forts and loved it, but I didn't really understand that would end up being what I ultimately wanted to do for my whole life. When I was 14, I did CETA programs and worked in schools, laid VCT tile and laid carpet. And throughout, you know, my teenage years, I was laying flooring. And then, you know, I got married. My first husband died in a car accident. And I had to go through that. And then I had my second husband, and his situation, everything in his life was, everything he told me was a lie, including his age. And life happens. And I was a pre-med major. And I was always told when I was a young kid, because I was dyslexic, that I could never ever do anything, that I was retarded, you know, you name it.
Wow.
And so, you know, going to, you know, college was a big deal for me. And it took me 6 tries to get into college.
Mm-hmm.
But I say it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
You
can overcome whatever your issues are by pushing. You don't give up. You don't know the word no. And if you have that mentality, you don't know the word no, and overcome
the
hurdles of being told that you were nothing and that you were retarded and all those things, and you don't listen to it, and you listen to your heart and what your dreams are. Listen to your dreams because they're real. And a dream is just a dream until you make it reality. And so, you know, I was, pre-med. I had
that
a company, emergency manning, my first company. And I had emergency managed care service, and I was very successful. Went through another bump in the road where, you know, my husband wasn't, you know, treating me right. You know, I've been through abusive relationships, and I was left homeless with my son Gabriel. And I just said,
you know, I'm like, okay, here it is.
I had to completely take a turnaround because, you know, what he did to me was so effective. It hurt me so bad that it hurt my company as well. And I fought, and then I, you know, during that time I got into construction, and I was homeless when I got back into construction. And my first job, I was answering ads literally on Craigslist, and everything looked so glim, and it just, I was like, it was hopeless, really, but I just decided to not let anything defeat me, and I just each and every job, and I just realized that I had an ability, a gift, and that I was meant to build, and that's what I loved, and that was what I was great at. And so I didn't let the gender
situation say, oh no, you can't,
oh no, this isn't the job for you, or you know, I found something that I loved
and that I was great at, and
I just kept pushing even against all odds, and
it's not been
easy. I've had, you know, jobs not paying me.
And
when you become a public figure, you also become a target
as well. And so it's,
you know, you've got people who's tracking you, you've got people who's trying to tear you down. But again, you've got to have thick skin, and you've got to rise above it, and you've got to make your mind decision that
no matter what, you're going to overcome, and you've got to have that mindset, and you can't listen to the naysayers and the people who say you can't do it. You've got to listen to your heart and believe in yourself, because the only person at the end of the day that's going to believe in you is you, and you have to believe in yourself first before anyone else is going to believe in you.
That's exactly right. Well, see, this is, you know, again, at such a young age, there had to be, I mean, we all have to have some sort of role model. I mean, to just be able to innately draw on inner strength is definitely a challenge, especially at a young age. I mean, who, I hope you had role models. Did you have any?
Well, you know, I was a foster kid, and I found, you know, I had found the Doolans actually recently. They actually saved me. I was in a very, very bad home. I'm extreme.
I mean, I got beaten with,
you know, I had welts all over my
body.
And I remember the Doolans, and they
literally saved me as a young girl. And they gave me 3 amazing years of knowing that what was told to me was not true,
and that I could do it. And, even as a teenager,
I ended up in foster homes because I went from Texas to Alabama and
was in a lot of homes. Going through all that, I just had to learn that, you know, I could do it even though I was slow, you know, because I had believed I was still so young and I didn't know how to deal with the dyslexia. And I would read things backwards. Even to this day, you know, I'm so creative.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet I still have
some issues, but I've learned to cope with it and how to overcome it and how to still push forward with
those issues. So I really believe that it really, you know, a couple people can tell you, you know, that's what our Women Empower US Foundation is really all about. What we want to do is give that the women who've never heard that they could do it, that they can do it.
I'm fortunate enough that I've had a few great foster parents. I had the Doolans who really believed in me and taught me to believe in myself.
But some of these girls
that we,
you know, that's been abused, it's like they've been in a concentration camp. They don't know. That's all they know.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you got to reprogram their brains
to know
that life is not about controlling you and abusing you. That's not
love.
Yeah.
And you've got to teach them what healthy love means. And,
I'm very fortunate now. I'm in a marriage where I don't get beaten.
I don't get called names. I get to be the butterfly that I was meant to be, not locked away in a jar.
And
I get to be free, and I don't have someone trying to control me. And,
I
just had to learn that that's healthy.
Yeah.
And I'm very fortunate because not all women, they find that. They end up in the same relationships because that's all they know. They define that as love, and it's not love. And so what we want to do is encourage women and show women what love really means and how to be healthy and how to most importantly love themselves and know how valuable they are.
And that you don't have to go through this. You don't have to stay in a relationship because of
your income or your circumstances. You can make it on your own.
Right. And you know,
you can make your own business. I always try to, like, go to the root of it. What was ever your dream?
Yeah.
What did you love to do when you were 5 years old? Sometimes
what you love to do when you were younger ends up being what you're really good at
and
what you love.
Very true. And the truth is, you know, life is short. And, you know, when women say to us especially, and I'm 55, Elite's going to be 54, and you say, well, you know, I'm too old for that. It's like, why?
You're never too old.
Why are you ever too old?
You're never too old. And you know, that's the thing. I know people who went and got their RN degree and they started in their 40s and their 50s.
There you go. That's
their
exactly
kids,
right.
Had their kids grew up and they had all this time on their hands and they went back to school and it was hard. But,
you know, they went and pushed to pass the test. I mean, like I told you, it took me 6 tries.
I didn't. Even my real estate, you know, because I am a little bit, you know, sometimes it takes me a couple times to pass something.
But yeah. just because you fail it the first time, or second time, or third time, doesn't mean you're going to fail it forever. You've got to just keep studying, pushing, and believing yourself that, you know what, don't get discouraged. I mean, listen, I have to
tell you, I have been on my face. I've been redirected many, many times in my life. You know, I'm in my office January 19th, for example, and I'm like 2 weeks from completing my construction job, something I love, and for no apparent reason, I'm fired. And I mean, and I started to figure out, you know, I have a very, very powerful ex in New York. I started figuring out what was going on. And I just simply said, it's time for a change. You know, I'd already been helping women, but I was seeing issues where we would
help them, but there was no place
for them to go. And
the shelters would be like 2 or 3 months. And I'm like, I've got to be the one to change it. Because if I don't,
who will?
And, you know, in life, if you know there's issues, you can make a change and you can make a difference. And so I started Women Empower Us,
and I went on to the Golden Globe, and met some amazing people, and then Oscars. That's when I met my vice president, Sonia Osei.
And then from there,
she brought in Sophia Morris, who's Stevie Wonder's daughter.
And you know, it's like
even when you know life gets you down, you can overcome and help other people. You know, you find your strength by helping others.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to get attacked.
Especially when you're moving forward.
I mean, now I'm in the spotlight. Now people are seeing who I am. And people,
there is people that they, instead of realizing
that they've got a special gift,
because each and every one
of us was born to be different.
Each and every one of us
was born to look different.
We are all beautifully
made. We are all amazing people. But we have to find our strengths.
And, you know,
the strong lifts. The
lift others up, you know,
the weak
knock people down. And
you're going to have people that are going to do attack you.
You're going to have people that's going to talk bad about you. You're going to
have people that's going to garbage you because they're trying to you know,
it's really hard to explain,
but you got to know that all that, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that you keep pushing forward, and you keep believing in yourself, and you keep following your heart and your dreams, because your dreams become a reality when you put action behind them.
Yeah, definitely. April, you're such an inspiration. I just want to know, are you walking back and forth, because your reception is going back and forth with us?
No, actually, I'm sitting in place. It could be just the fans in the room or something like that.
You're coming in strong, and then you're leaving.
I apologize. I'm a mother of an army of children, so I have this particular room. It's kind of like a soundproof room, and it's got...
No, we hear you perfectly. It's just that sometimes you're muffled and sometimes you're clear. That's the reception is not
the best. So we're picturing you walking back and forth.
Yeah, I just think that you're walking back and forth because I could see reception in one area and no reception in the other area.
No. It's just that if I go out of the other room, you guys would hear my army of children.
That's fine.
And
I just want everybody to hear you clearly.
And let's make this clear. You have 9 kids.
Oh, yes. I do. My oldest
still standing?
Is 20 all the way down to a baby. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I wasn't expecting to have more. I had a tube bull that did the coils and scar tissue, so my last one was completely like, no way.
Wow.
And then I was in labor for 35 hours because the scar tissue stopped everything down, you know, and so I was about to go into a C-section, and I was like, could you give me a husband a chance to pray? I know, it's funny, but I mean, you know, I couldn't have made it. Everybody has, you know, where they find themselves and what works, and, I mean, for me, it's like prayer and perseverance and knocking on those doors to get them open.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And, you know, it's such a wonderful role model for not just you, your daughters, but for your sons. You know what I'm saying? Because that's really it. I mean, seeing a mother who's powerful is just as important for a little boy as it is for a little girl.
It's more important.
It's funny you say that. My little girl, Rose, she really is my mini-me. And yesterday She was telling a couple of friends, we were at the pool, they were like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? She goes, I want to do construction. And
wow.
She's like, and she goes, I want to build buildings, and I want to do what my mom does. She's 10 years old, and they have seen me struggle and have a hard time because, you know, I'm a mother who really don't get child support. I'm just now, you know, going forward with it. And even when I've been scared because, you know, like I said, I've been through a lot of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And then to stand up for myself, in order for me to stand up for others, I still have to stand up for myself. So, you know, they've seen me struggle. They've seen it where, you know, I'm not paid. I have a mm-hmm. client who owes me $170,000 right now, and it's been tough, and it's been 3 or 4 years. And I put my own money into the job. I've learned not to do that, and I won't work now for anyone other than, you know, Fortune 500 companies, who put the money in escrow. I have a state inspector that works with me, for me, making sure everything's documented, because being a woman in construction, it is so difficult. Taxed, whether it's a woman who's hating on you or a man who's like, oh, we are not going to let a woman rise above. Mm-hmm. You know, you go through so much. But, you know, there is women that are bullies. Women are each other's worst enemies. Yeah, that's why I'm like, okay, we got to do this women in power up. We have got to end bullying. We got to explain. We are hurting each other. It's hard enough. You've got these guys, you know, they're running around, they're doing whatever, and then the women, they're hurting each other, and they think it's competition. And life is not competition. Everybody's got their gift.
That's exactly right. And that's
some people haven't found their gift.
And that's what Alit and I always say. I mean, because we've had run-ins with things like that, with a little bit of I don't want to say competitive jealousy, but the thing is, I always say we don't have any competition. Women help each other.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's about. You know, we infuse all our power, and we help each other. There's no such thing as competition between women. There shouldn't be.
No, there shouldn't be. And we're doing each other a disservice, which ends up being a disservice to our world. Because now what I'm wanting to do is also do a commercial. So I'm trying to team up with some corporations that will help us do this commercial to get this out. You know, you see a man that's uplifting his wife, and you see how their life is. Mm-hmm. And versus a man who's tearing the woman down. Now, what happens when we tear our partners down, our friends, our family down, we're literally not just tearing them down, but tearing the world, because they are actually going out in the world and
the domino
they're
effect.
Broken.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the domino
effect. It really is. Mm-hmm. And so we need like an infomercial that shows what happens when you bring up a woman. We're not trying to be more than a man. We're trying to be the best partner to the man that we were created to be, his partner, his equal, his. When times get bad for our partner, for example, if we're not lifting up our other, you know, our partner, then the times that I'm having a hard time, for example, and say income is bad for me 1 month, but yet my partner, who I've been lifting up and helping all along, life still goes on, and everybody's not going through a hard struggle.
That's right. That's exactly.
You know, and then you see in the infomercial the guy beating down the woman, and she's helpless, and the family's struggling, and then he's having a hard time at work because it was a hard month, but it's a bad time because it doesn't even go smoothly because he's beat down this woman or his partner, and he or she can't do anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And we can't be destroying the mothers of our world.
No.
Because we are the ones who bring life into the world. And if we are broken, then we are going to create more brokenness in our family.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say there's been studies on the cultures and countries that revere their women and respect their women. Do the best. Do the best economically.
They're the strongest country.
That's right.
country.
That's right.
Yep.
Because we rely on each other's power, and again, there's no competition. Look, men have a different type of power. We have a different type of power. It's okay if we both, I think, come out with the same amount of talents, but we apply them
yes.
differently.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for jealousy. There's no reason for backbiting.
No, we lift each other's up.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all it should be. But we you know,
and
ego,
nobody should tear each other, anybody down.
Ego is a funny thing. Ego is a very funny thing. And that's, I think, what keeps us back more than anything else.
Yep.
It's just the thought that I won't be right, I won't have, and that's, I think that's the ruination of society. Instead of thinking about, you know, the greater good, which is what we should all
be thinking. The greater do good.
Well, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be thinking about, okay, what's best for everybody, not just not just become a society of I have mine and I don't care about you.
Exactly.
That's horrible.
Right. Well, you know what's happening, too, is like when women are in a society where they're beaten down or they end up, you know, the welfare system.
Yes.
They end up on the welfare system.
They lose their self-esteem.
That's right.
Yes,
they
it
have
runs
no self-esteem.
Their ability, their self-esteem. You know, you've got fathers that they'll have children or they'll have their fun and they run out. And, I mean, it's like, if you went into a store, you're expected to pay for your goods. If you go and you do whatever, you have to pay for your whatever you do in life. And you can't just abandon your responsibility. So really, it not just starts with helping women. We need to help men to understand that it's all about us. It starts with us. If you want your corporations to lower the taxes, you've got to start in your family. You wouldn't want it done to your daughter. You wouldn't want it done
to
your mother. It starts with you. And if every man says it starts with me and I'm going to take care of my family and my children because I did this. Did the deed. You know, take responsibility and then less mothers are on welfare.
Yeah.
You
That's
know?
Exactly
and,
right.
And then You get a mother, you break her down, you're into breaking her and your children down.
Right.
And what does it do? It hurts our world. We need to empower all of us.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think that, again, the rules were written centuries ago, and it was mostly written by men. So the idea is we don't want to make enemies with anybody, but how do we change the storyline? How do we infuse a more contemporary way of thought that include women as equals? See, this is where the challenges come because there still will be men barking it down. There still be, and I'm not saying the younger men, some younger men, but there's still the older, even like my father-in-law's generation, that might be very threatened by it. So that's kind of what we're up against, making men feel safe. We're not taking anything away from you, but hey, you would want just as much for your daughters. So let's work together.
Exactly. We're not here to take anything from the man. And I think that men who behave like in the manner of beating down a woman, they have a low self-esteem.
Of course.
So again, we need to help the mothers who are raising these boys that their self-esteem means everything growing up. You have to praise your son. You have to let him know that we are all together as a team. We are a team. And, you know, and then men who, you know, have had these issues, listen, life isn't about competition. It's about being a team and helping each other. Because if we help each other, we're going to be more powerful family. We're going to be more, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be able to have more vacations. You're going to be able to enjoy your life. So when I say about that infomercial that I'm working on getting a corporation to sponsor to get this done, I think it would be a fabulous thing because it brings awareness to the men because they need education. It brings awareness to the women that if we work together, this is your result versus your result beating down the woman, this will be your result. And then you got broken children. And it ends up being broken in society.
Yep. And, you know, the flip side to that point, and I was thinking of this as you were speaking about, you know, the little boys. Now, we're older than you. There was a show on Elite, you remember this, Wonderama, mm-hmm. when we were growing up. And it was on Sunday mornings from, my God, 7 o'clock till like 11 o'clock. All the parents got a break. And I remember Rosie Greer, who was, he still is alive, was a linebacker for, I believe, the New York Giants. And he was 284 pounds, 6'5". And he was groundbreaking in like 1972. He had a hit song, It's All Right to Cry. Do you remember that song, Elite? It's All Right to Cry, It Might Make You Feel Better. But here was this linebacker
right,
of a guy
singing
the song specifically for little boys, telling them, it's all right to cry.
Right.
You're a human being. It might make you feel
yeah.
better. And it was groundbreaking.
Yeah. Especially
and
back
it is
then.
All right. I mean, we are all human. We,
yes.
I mean, and that's the thing. You know, even with our foundation, I decided, you know, we're all Wonder Sisters, and we're all a different nationality. We come together as sisters, and we all bleed the same. We all have pain the same.
Yes.
We are all human. It's about humanity. It's about loving everybody in the world and stop separate. We're always separating ourselves by gender.
Yes.
We separate ourselves by religion.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, we separate ourselves by race.
Yeah.
When do we stop doing that and say we need to come together, all of us?
Yeah, well, on the, you know, we would hope that would happen, but I don't think that would happen.
I hope in our lifetime it does, at least in our kids' lifetime.
We discussed this before, that mm-hmm. I don't think that, you know, especially the generation now, like your father-in-law's generation,
mm-hmm.
my mother-in-law's generation, no way is it going to happen. You know, our generation is half and half,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully the younger generation
the
is very
now,
accepting of everything.
Accepting.
They're very, very
they
accepting
are.
And aware
of
more stuff
yeah.
than we are.
So
hopefully, you know, it gets better and better in acceptance and, you know, not hurting anybody, you know, that's just second nature to some people.
Yeah.
They just hurt people.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing, when we hurt each other, we hurt our world.
Of course.
And
that's the way it's a trickle, it's a domino effect. Everybody gets hurt in the process.
Yeah.
Well, before I know you're on vacation. I don't want to keep you away from
I just would like to see, you know, like, you know, I want to build these centers and, you know, have women that have gone through so much abuse and so much hardship. Because, like I said, it's really about, you know, their minds being redirected of what's healthy and how to rebuild. And that you don't have to stay in relationship just because of financial means. You can do it on your own. And so, you know, we're moving forward with that. We have our red carpet.
That's what I wanted you to tell. September 15th, yeah?
Yes, at the Hilton in Midtown. And we would love for everybody, you know, to come out and to support this and to support what we're doing and to help each other, obviously. And so we're doing a women awards, women empowerment awards. We're looking at honoring people like Linda McMahon, a lot of amazing women. I had some amazing feedback with a bunch of women we're talking to right now. And it really is about, you know, giving women awards who have overcome obstacles and you know, they're doing something very positive in their life, and then we're looking to do more of that for women.
Amen.
Sounds good.
And
yeah.
you, I have all, if there's any other information that you want to give me to put on our wall tomorrow, I certainly will do that. But I think I have most of everything that you mentioned just now, but if there's anything else, just, you know, message me and I'll just get it up on
Absolutely.
The wall tomorrow.
I
Thank
mean,
you,
if they want to, you know, join us for lunch, you know, they can get a lunch ticket. If they want to come to the celebrity VIP, you know, red carpet, they can get tickets for that. And if they want to be a corporate sponsor and their names being on our banner at the red carpet, they can do that as well. So
beautiful. We'll definitely get the word out.
And we're doing
this.
Our advisor is Mark Jeff. Who is the president of the New York Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
He's one of our advisors.
Very cool.
And then we have a James Collins, who does a lot of, commodities and a lot of trading, and just we've got some really great people on our board that are just phenomenal.
Very cool. And we'll definitely get the word out every week for you, so no worries about that. April, thank you so much for your time.
It's been really a pleasure.
Enjoy your vacation. Enjoy your loved ones. You certainly deserve it.
Thank you so much, and it was so great talking with you guys today.
I'll talk to
you
soon.
Have a great vacation.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Bye.
Beautiful. Boy, that's a little of a story.
Big inspiration, man.
That's a woman with a... that's a shame. It's just like,
her past made her strong.
Yeah.
It made her for who she is today.
That's what I'm saying.
Sometimes it has to work that way, which is such a shame. But she got stronger, and she made herself better.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to...
Sometimes
it can't be everybody.
No,
everybody can't be a captain.
If she was coddled with love and stuff, who knows? She would have just stayed... To be,
it's so hard
girl.
To know. I mean,
it is very hard to know.
And the truth is, we're not supposed to know. We do the best we can. And I could have turned out differently if I was raised a certain way. You could have. And you know what? We're here.
Right.
We're here. That's really it. We're here, and we're doing the best we can.
That's what Elaine Stitch
with
said,
our past. Yeah, I was gonna start playing it, but I couldn't get it in time. But you don't remember that song? It's All Right to Go. And what's interesting about Rosie Grier is. He was enormously famous,
mm-hmm.
and he was a big guy.
I remember who he was.
You certainly would not tell him he cannot sing It's All Right to Cry.
You would never
tell him. But the interesting part of him is he's,
wasn't he the one in the first Coca-Cola commercial when they
That
kid?
Was Mean Joe Green.
Oh, okay.
Mean Joe Green.
Same thing almost.
But Rosie Grier had always a very warm, gentle baritone.
All
very
those big
warm,
guys do.
But he was just like, he lit up a room. He smiled.
Yeah.
But... He's, I think, an ordained minister now.
Oh, really?
And he has several books out, Knitting for Men.
Oh, that's where I remember. That's
you're not
going to
tell
right.
Rosie Grier
that he
you can't knit one a pearl too.
No,
you're not
going to say that
to him.
No.
So, but and I
good
thought,
for him.
And I think that was very important,
to
at
see.
The time.
Yeah.
It was 1972.
Even now. You know?
Knowing that there's a need for little boys to cry if they need to.
Definitely.
So, and that's the amazing point. Here he is knitting. He's still knitting. And
I'm sure if Trump saw that, he would have said something to say.
Not to big old Rosie Grier. You know what he...
No, he would.
Nothing
scares that man.
The funny thing about him is he's got an affinity for sports figures and the people like that. So I don't think he would say
anything. He would make something. He would make a joke about it.
No, possibly.
Thinking he's funny.
It's not even worthy of a voice on that.
No.
But so we're definitely going to go to the red carpet and support her, and we'll give it a shout out every week. And she's just doing wonderful things, wonderful, wonderful things. And it's important. And like I said, more of these things are happening.
Okay,
and isn't funny how she said she was saying that. What happened? She got fired from a job January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how all these things happen. Isn't it oddly symbolic that most of these things are happening? There's a change of thought in January. Now, when was the inauguration?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
It happened this January?
Yes.
Oh.
Isn't it funny how this pulse, there's this shift in current that happened in January? And that's when we started thinking about, changing the format to the show.
Oh,
Then we just did it 2 months later, Women's History Month.
Well, I think those women just, embraced each other and said, this is the time to really show
it's funny.
Our spirit, our toughness and, what we're made of.
It's really funny because this is like, when I was involved in the march in January, it was funny because you start thinking about how it was in the 60s.
Right.
And I always thought it must have been cool to be in the middle of all that. And I think this is ours.
The same thing.
I think it's the same thing,
just a different movement.
And I think of my favorite Bella Abzug. What would she, I don't know, how old would she have been now? Because she wasn't that old when she passed. She was...
Well, we could dig her up and put a hat on her.
Oh, I miss
nobody
her.
Would have known.
But you know what? She would have had so much to say. She would have had so much to say then. She would have been screaming and yelling.
Are you kidding me? And it's so funny, Mom. I think I've told you my mother had a friend just like
her.
Always wore a hat. The biggest mouth. Barbara Black was her name. And she was funny and she was political and she always had something to say. Exactly like Bella Hartzog.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And she was.
I was shocked my mother got along with her, but after a while she got on her nerves because my mother was that tough too. So two toughies don't get along.
But that they should be able to compliment each other,
no?
No. Unless they were on opposing sides.
No, because they're both. You know what it is? They're both. You know, very outspoken. So if one didn't like what the other said,
but see, now isn't that funny?
And getting back to what we just spoke of, we should never put each other down.
That's what I'm saying.
But ego sometimes.
Right, just like
move
back and, okay, here you go. And then now I'm
here's my platform, here's your platform.
That's right. I give
you a chance. But it was mostly about each other.
Oh, well, that's a totally different story. So they were just like making fun of each other?
Right.
Okay, that's a different story. That has nothing to do with any agenda.
After a while, they hated each other.
Well, then there you go. So that blows that theory now. But I think this young lady is onto something good. And,
she's amazing.
With 9 kids.
Amazing story. Amazing woman.
That's tough. She would have gotten along with her and Nancy were on the program. Nancy's one of 11. This is like, this is 9 kids.
Well, she's got 9 kids.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
She's not one of 11.
I'm just saying.
She's the mother of the 9 kids.
Nancy is our age, and that was a generation of many kids.
Right.
This lady's younger than us, and there's many kids.
She had a couple marriages, and I guess each husband wanted their own kid.
Of course, and she also takes in foster kids.
Yeah.
So there are times she has like 12 kids in her house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a one. Look, if you have enough love for everybody, why not? Speaking
of
love.
In the room.
Speaking of love, what do we love?
We love Topperson.
We do. Woo-hoo. And Lou's supposed to come on the show again, but Lou is very busy toting his product all over the country.
Wow, look
but
at the product. It's wonderful.
Summer's about bumps. And the Bumps Elite are not only bumps that hurt, bumps that itch.
Right.
Now, let me tell you about the bumps that itch. You can use Topperson Jr. on those mosquito bites.
I know.
It's the only Topperson that actually does anything for it. So there's a chemical.
It's better than any anti-itch cream, right?
It's funny. It's only the Topperson Jr.
And it doesn't even state that.
It's only the top.
Well, there's probably a certain ingredient.
Yeah,
that's
I think because a lower dosage and there's something else that makes it compatible to a child's skin that helps with the mosquito bites. So Topperson Jr. for mosquito bites, the regular Topperson, for everything else that swells on you, be it your ankle, be it your jaw, whatever happens this summer through summertime sports, definitely Topperson. Topperson.com. Go shopping. Go take the little cart and fill it up. You'll find there's like 6 different varieties. I'm not going to bore you with it.
And it doesn't go bad, so you could overorder and save it.
Yeah, that's right. The shelf life is.
Yeah.
And use it every day. And you use just a little bit after you get out of the shower.
Yep.
And your body will say thank you. Topperson.com. And summer reading, friend of ours, Susan Silva, who wrote Hot Pants in Hollywood, is moving up the chart.
I know. I
think
saw
it's
her.
Three
she was number
something.
One in Aspen,
right? That's a funny book. You know what? If you want something light to bring by the pool, to bring at the beach, and just to have a hearty chuckle.
It's a definite LOL book.
Yeah. Just enjoy. Have a pina colada as you sip along and read the lovely Susan Silva's antics and her place in Hollywood and her place in history and a place in most of our lives, whether we realize it or not. She afforded us a chuckle or two. So Hot Pants in Hollywood, you could get on Amazon. Just Google the title. Brings you right to the site, and you could order it there. And it's cheap. It's $15. Come on. It's a good thing. Or go to a bookstore and get it. Hot Pants in Hollywood. And more summer reading. Although it's more summer flipping, we love Muscle Sport Magazine. Lee. Don't look at me like I have 2 heads. Don't look
flipping.
At me like I have 2
what are you flip
heads. Bobbing? And when you flip this magazine, there's adult content in there. So, you know, just hold it close to your eyes. If you're nearsighted, if you're farsighted, just, you know,
you
might
know,
not be something the kids should
be
see.
Of age.
Be of age and just look at the wonderful array of exercises that they have.
There's
some great articles in there.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot what it was. I was looking through it last month. I was like, you know something? I never thought of it that way. There's something about bicep curls. I forgot what it was. But it was something very interesting. How much do we know over the years? How much have we heard? And it was something that struck me. And I remember I was going to ask you about it. But, yeah. Muscle Sport Mag, $32 a year for delivery. Come on. You're not going to get better for that.
Nope.
So go to their site and order it. And you know what? If you don't like it, you just lost $32. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to get quite a few magazines for
that's
that.
It's a week worth of stuff.
And you know, yeah. And it's certainly not going to have you jumping around the house like a lunatic. So, Topperson, Hot Pants in Hollywood, and Muscle Sport Mag. What say you, Elise? Are you happy with the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very good. I just, you know, I wish her reception was a little bad.
I pictured her.
I hope that, you know, the listeners hear it better than we do.
Yeah, we'll test it out later. But I pictured exactly
I just pictured her walking back and forth because the reception was coming and going. So if the sound is not, you know, good, listeners, you know, we apologize for that.
There's definitely a cell phone also. Yeah, we'll definitely have her on again. Although, you know, the funny thing is cell phones, how many people call them cell phones? And
not many. I mean, I notice a lot of landlines more, which is better to use if you're calling into a radio station. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I know I listen to other stations, and they get mad when somebody calls through a cell phone because it's always bad reception.
Yeah.
And they could hear the difference.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
So if you want to come in clear, you want to get on our show, use a landline.
Landline or a cell phone that you know is tried and true.
Right.
You know that, you know, and some have great receptions. I forgot, we had somebody that had crystal clear that they sounded better than us. I can't remember the guest, but it was a cell.
All right.
So, but you know, what can we do? But we thank our guest,
yes, definitely,
April Malloy Peacock, and all the information will be on our Facebook page. Well, if you haven't liked our Facebook page yet, what are you waiting for? We don't charge for this.
Or our Instagram page.
Yeah.
Even better.
She's raising the bar. It's easy. It's very easy.
It's free.
It's free. Come on. We have interesting things, not just about platforming women, Fitness Fridays.
No.
You know, health tips.
Mm-hmm.
We have it all on there. So just come on. It's free. And you could always unlike us. If it's not what you thought it was going to be, unlike us.
Click.
We'll be fine. We'll make new friends. It's not a problem. On that note, I thank my lovely co-host,
Elise Newman,
for riding shotgun with me.
Thank you to our other co-host, our audience.
And that's our largest co-host.
Yeah,
yep.
The biggest one.
And just a little bit more before we go. Just another couple of lines.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I slept in shanties, guest of the WPA, but I'm here.
Yeah. And that's something. I mean, that's, I think, the parting thoughts that we should have. We're still here.
We still make
a difference. And that's
the most important thing.
And another one of...
It's a trickle effect. It's a domino effect, you know? It's a ripple effect.
And
if we're good to each other, then the world would be good back to you.
And you know something? Another quote?
I have to give myself a quote.
I agree. You definitely deserve that. But another quote that one of our panelists, Patricia Martin, loves this quote from Gone with the Wind, Tomorrow is another day. And that is exactly it. So if today didn't turn out the way you wanted, tomorrow's
another day.
Just hang on.
That's
and, you know, we start fresh. You know, tomorrow is the refresh button.
Mm-hmm.
And you could start it. It's the clean slate. And that's what we do.
So
be here next week, people, because we will be here looking forward to seeing you. And have a wonderful day. Be good to each other. Do something productive. And smile at each other today. And give a hug where necessary.
Be kind. Kindness matters.
Take us home and eat. Yeah. Nina.
What
a kind of
Nina.
Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina. Nina.